Praise the Lord. The message of life is for you tonight. As you look on Jesus, at Jesus, believe him, in him, salvation for you,
amen.
Healing for you,
amen.
Deliverance, dominion for you,
amen.
And every blessing from heaven upon you, upon your life, upon your family, upon the church you come from, upon everyone here and online, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wonderful amen. Can you say that again?
Amen.
Father, we're just so grateful you are God and you are there for us. Creator, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you so loved us and you sent your only begotten Son so that all our spiritual problems, natural problems, human problems, you bring solution. We're asking tonight, solution will come to everyone. Great grace, great power, great solution to every problem we bring here today, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Fulfill your word in every life.
Amen.
Thank you for those who have ministered to us already in songs from the nations, in song here at the Alpha location, and our guest minister. We're praying that their word, their ministry, will not fall to the ground.
Amen.
You'll bear fruit in every one of our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You'll do the great thing that your grace and your love and your mercy will accomplish in every life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
God has blessed you. You can sit down. As we come to the message tonight, we're looking at Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Please note those words at the beginning, of great power, and the words at the end, great grace, great grace, great power. We're talking tonight on great power on the day of great grace. This is the day of grace for you. For you,
amen.
Grace will flow into your life.
Amen.
The mercy of the Lord will take every challenge, every problem, every pain, and the grace of God will bring solution to your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Great power on the day of great grace. Three things we're looking at. Number one, great salvation on this day of grace. Number two is gracious healing by the God of all grace. Number three, glorious restoration for recipients of grace. Those who stretch forth their hand of faith and they open their heart in faith, saying, Lord, I know you love me. I know your mercy covers me. I know you will not despise the feeble cry of the suffering. I come, hands stretched to receive, heart open to receive. You will receive in Jesus' name. And it's all by grace. Look at them one by one. Number one, great salvation. On this day of grace, it tells us in Acts chapter 4, reading from verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. That it doesn't say there is no salvation. It's just telling us, look the right direction. Come to the right person. There are times you want to get something. In this shop, it's not there. That other shop, it's not there. That other market, it's not there. Don't give up. There is just one place you can get that thing you are looking for. If you don't, if you have not discovered, ask question. And when you ask, oh, they will say, yes, we understand you've gone about here and there and the other place you didn't get. If you go to such and such a place, you'll get it. That's what the Holy Ghost is reminding us, that you might go to different places you thought. If I go to that place, I'll get salvation. That's what you thought, human being. If I get to that other place, I'll have it. And you have searched and searched. You were sincere. My brother, my sister, my friend, sincerity is not enough. I'm so sincere, I'm looking for something in the valley. I'm so sincere, I'm looking for something in that marketplace. I'm so sincere, I'm looking for something in that location. My sincerity will not create what is not there. Sincere, but you miss the way. And the Holy Ghost is saying, sincerity apart, I am good and nice, yet we need salvation. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name but the name of Jesus. Why? Well, because you know, Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. And no other person that lived on earth before him, or at his time, or after his time, lived such a perfect life. Everyone that lived on earth, they had their own sin to confess, their own sin to repent of. Only one person in the history of the whole of humanity did not have any sin to confess, any sin to regret of. A perfect life he lived. And that perfect life was from the first day he spent on earth to the very last day. Go beyond that, before he was born on earth, he had been from all eternity with the Father, and from eternity past until he came to earth. And after he left the earth and went back to heaven, no single wrong deed, no sin was recorded against his life. That is why he and he alone qualifies to be your Savior and my Savior and the Savior of everyone on earth. Mention any other name of the people that ever lived in the best of countries, in the most religious nation, any other name. They do not qualify because they have their own sins to atone for, and they cannot atone for your sin or for my sin. But as he is presented unto us, we'll see that he is the Savior, not only the Savior of one nation, the Savior of the whole nations of the world. And not just the Savior of one generation, the Savior of all the generations on earth. And of this generation, thank God, here is your opportunity today. He is your Savior today. I said, He is your Savior today. And the salvation He gives is not cheap salvation. It's great salvation. The salvation He gives is not ordinary salvation. It's extraordinary salvation. It reaches your heart, salvation. It touches your character, salvation. It touches, transforms your habit, salvation. It goes very deep into the very center of your life. That's why this is not superficial on the surface salvation. It is not Sunday salvation that is weak during the week, but the salvation that goes through, whether it's Sunday or the weekday, strong day or weekday, the salvation is so great, it carries us through. Great salvation. How do we have that? Believe on Him on this day of grace. Look at verse 33. In verse 33, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." And notice that last word there, all. What God does in mercy. In fact, there are things He gives we cannot buy. The air we breathe, all by grace. Can I pay for the air I breathe? Can you pay for the air you breathe upon us all? The ground on which we step, we cannot pay for that. It's for us all. And He made the earth for us all. And He gave His Son, only begotten Son, for us all. He gave the sun, S-U-N, for us all. The moon, for us all. The day, for us all. The night, for us all. His salvation, for us all. But now, although He has given us the sun, if you stay inside a dungeon and you keep your eyes closed, the sun will not be of benefit. You might know the sun is there, but if you do not know that your physical life, your natural life depends on that sun, and you shield yourself from that sun, you'll not get the benefit. But when you know that's for me, that's for him, that's for her, and you make yourself available, the same thing, the Son of God, S-O-N, our Savior, our Lord, His grace, His love, His mercy is for you, for me, for everyone, for us all, everyone included, for the high and for the low. You know, we never get to the point where say, now, I'm so educated, I'm so enlightened, and I'm so philanthropic, I'm so philosophical, I don't need the air to breathe. By my knowledge of science, God, you can give the air to breathe to other people. I've studied science, I've studied all these new knowledge. The new age of knowledge does not give you a substitute for the air we breathe. It is still for all. The same thing you know, my friend, the salvation is for us all. You cannot get to the point in education, in knowledge, in science, in good works that you'll say, I don't need that. is for us all. And thank God today, this salvation will be for you in Jesus' name. Great salvation, not cheap, not ordinary, not superficial, great salvation on this day of grace. Look at Titus chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 11. For the grace of God. You see that it only comes from God. The grace of man, no, that will not save. The grace of angels, no, that will not save. God has the monopoly of the possession of grace, and it is the grace of God that comes to you. That's why there's only one direction to Luke. Luke unto him and be ye saved. It's the grace of God that bringeth salvation. The grace of God. Now, the grace of God does not bring judgment. Not now. Whatever you've done, wherever you have gone, and your conscience might even be condemning you. But you know, it's not the grace of conscience. It's the grace of God that comes to you and it brings salvation to you. Right now, it's bringing salvation to you. Are you there? You will receive in Jesus' name. It's not the grace of your feeling. I feel sad. I feel unhappy. Don't worry about that. It's the grace of God, not the grace of my feeling, the grace of my emotion, the grace of my mind. No, this one, man in his natural state, man in his confused state, has nothing to do with this. The grace of God will come your way tonight. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto, look at that again, all men. It is for you. It is for you. If you've got that already, I don't need to say more. All I need to say is that since this is for you, receive it now. It is yours in Jesus' name. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. When the grace of God comes to us, it teaches us in a graceful manner. You see, there are many teachers in the world, and there are some people who have tried to teach us, but they teach us with a stick in their hand. They teach us with the language of condemnation. They teach us and they belittle us, and they tell us how bad we are. And they say, why don't you change? If you don't change, you die and perish. You see, there are many kinds of teachers. There are teachers who are disciplinarians. Now, when they teach us, there's something in us that says that they don't love me. They condemn me. But when the grace of God teaches us, it teaches us lovingly and teaches us gracefully. And that's the way the grace of God comes to you today. It's just saying, do you know how much God loves you? You'll never know. You'll never be able to tell how God is running after you. And he wants you saved. He wants you forgiven. You see, there is no person that has been offended that will be chasing the offender with forgiveness, saying, I know you're offended, you're even ashamed of the offense. You know what? I'm running after you for one reason, not to retaliate, not to revenge, not to punish you. I'm running after you to give you forgiveness. Only God does that because of his grace. and that grace will find you today. And he said that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Amen. Say your amen for yourself. Then in verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope. It says, when the grace of God comes to you, you will not be hopeless anymore. I will not be hopeless anymore. You see all the teachers that have tried to teach us, and they're telling us change. They're turning us, turn over a new leaf. And after they have taught us, all the leaf is condemnation. They don't give us hope. But the grace of God comes to you, and it gives you hope. You will not be hopeless anymore. Forgiveness will come to you. Freedom will come to you. And when you hear that Christ is coming, you know he is coming for you to take you to heaven. And that hope, nobody will take away from you. And it says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What has Jesus done? In verse 14, who gave himself for us. Who gave himself. Think about it again. Rich men can give us money. They don't give themselves. Teachers can give us knowledge. They don't give themselves. Philanthropic people may give us material things. They don't give themselves. They say, no, that's my life. Don't come to that area. Even scientific helpers may give knowledge and help, but they don't give themselves. It's only Christ, because of his love, because of his mercy. He loves you so much. Look at what he has done, that he gave himself for you, that he might redeem you. He might purchase us. He might ransom us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. An ordinary person becomes a peculiar person, extraordinary person, a special person, an uncommon person, that even angels in heaven will look at you and say, look at this man. We used to know him. He was common, now he is uncommon. Look at this woman. We used to know her. Even the angels will say she was ordinary, but now she is extraordinary. I'm talking about somebody there. He wants to make us peculiar people, zealous of good works. That is the salvation, the great salvation that he gives every one of us on this day of grace. All we have to do, it's ready, it's available. Come, and everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find. Everyone who knocks at his door, the door of mercy, the door of mercy will be opened unto you. I thought you'll say really amen. Number two is gracious healing by the God of all grace. Healing. We use other words for healing. We might call it recovery. You recover from your sickness in Jesus' name. And we say it is gracious because it comes from the God of all grace. when you understand that that grace is deep, is high, is wide, is broad, and that grace covers you, and God is the God of all grace, and that your healing is available, He has the power, He has the willingness, He has the love. He doesn't want you to be struggling and struggling. I want to be healed. I want to be healed. He wants you to be healed more than you want to be healed. He's the God of all grace. And your healing, well, say this way, in using the word grace, it is God's recovery at Christ's expense. He's paid it all already. By His stripes we are healed. Say this way, it is God's release at Christ's expense. He releases you and relieves you from the pain and the sickness of your life. You've got the burden, you've got the plague, you've got the suffering, and you say, I need relief from this sin. It's by grace, God's relief at Christ's expense. I was strong before, and I was healthy before. Yes, there is a restoration of what you had before. He looks at you and He smiles. He looks at you and He loves you. And He says, you are here tonight, and He's going to do the wonder of healing in your life in Jesus' name. And His restorative power will restore you to normal health, because it is gracious restoration at Christ's expense. Look at Acts chapter 5. We're looking at it from verse 14. Acts 5:14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. The grace of God covers the men and the women. Now, it doesn't tell us the age of the men, young men, older men, elderly men, everyone. You don't have to die of the sickness, even though you are elderly. It doesn't tell us the age of the women, younger women, young women, and old elderly women. You don't have to die of that pain, of that suffering, of that sickness, because the grace of God covers all the men and all the women. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets, they brought the sick into the streets. There are times that an auditorium, a sanctuary, may not be large enough, and the people are to come to the streets. Doesn't really matter. If you are inside the temple, He'll heal you there. But if the crowd cannot be contained inside the temple, and you're on the street, and you are at the stadium like you are tonight, the healing of God is coming your way. He will heal you tonight. God appreciates the effort that you have made in coming by yourself, or in allowing somebody to lead you by the hand and to bring you and lay them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And why did they think like that? The crowd was so much. They said, well, Peter might not be able to get to everyone, and holds everyone, lay hands on everyone, but all the same, the healing of God will not be limited by Peter's ability to lay hand upon anyone. Grace will make sure that that healing gets to you. Tonight, grace will make sure that healing gets to you. Blind eyes, your eyes will open. The neck is stiff, you can't turn it here and there. The Lord will bring relief tonight in Jesus' name. Goiter in the throat is showing outside, or it is going inside. The Lord will channel the healing to you tonight in Jesus' name. A son, a daughter you are concerned about because of the deafness or the dumbness, the Lord has seen your concern as a mother. He identifies with you. He'll touch your son. He'll touch your daughter. He'll open the ear and he'll loose the tongue. They will hear. They will speak in Jesus' name. Maybe you came, somebody brought you a stroke, and it's like one part of the body will not work well. Well, the grace of God is bringing restoration to your body. Your heart might have a problem. The grace of God is going to do a restorative work in that heart tonight in Jesus' name. Maybe you have skin problem. Either it's leprosy or another kind of skin problem, he'll clean up your skin tonight. Your skin will look like that of a newborn baby. Healed, restored tonight in Jesus' name. The grace of God will do it. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. Shout, everyone. Shout again, everyone. As everyone had the provision of the air to breathe, so God said not only the air to breathe or the water to drink available to everyone or the solid ground to stand on, it says it's healing, it's restoration, it's release, it's relief, it's for everyone. As our God changed, as Jesus changed, you are included in the everyone. I am healed. I am healed. I receive it. It is yours in Jesus' name. Look at point number three there. Point number three is the glorious restoration for recipients of grace. Recipients of grace. Restoration. Restoration. When somebody had gone astray, a person might be in one location, standing, staying there, and yet the mind has gone astray. The heart has gone astray. The thoughts have gone astray. The brain is deranged, is gone astray. Another person might actually leave that location and go to a far place and is gone astray. No matter how a person has gone astray, is staying in one location, but his life has gone astray, there's restoration here for you tonight.
Amen.
The Lord will restore you. You know, the world and people in the world, even some good people in the world, when somebody has been lost, is missed his way, is gone far away, and we have sub notice to, you know, the important places, we're looking for so and so, looking for so and so. Eventually, maybe somebody gets there and finds him, finds her. What are you doing here? Everybody have been looking for you. Well, they discover him, they might bring him back home, but they make him feel ashamed because of what he had done. When God searches for you and he finds you, he never makes you feel ashamed of yourself. He builds you up again. He restores you back to normal life again. And today, the Lord will restore everyone.
Amen.
We receive of his grace. We receive of his mercy. We receive of his love. Let me show you an example of a person like that in Luke chapter 15, reading from verse 17. And when he came to himself, we call this man the prodigal son. It just means a son that wasn't satisfied to be at home, and so he went away from home. We're talking about a person who went away from the covering, the cover, the protection, the provision of the father, and went away. No cover, no covering, no security. It's a picture of a person who had been under the shepherding of the Lord, the shepherd, the Savior. But eventually now, he's fed up. Doesn't want church anymore. Doesn't want Bible anymore. Doesn't want all these wonderful songs of grace anymore, and then goes astray. And when anybody goes astray like that, he's out of his mind, he's out of himself. His brain is not thinking well, his mind is not thinking well, and so he went to the far country. In that far country, he spent everything he had. He became poor, in penury, and in his need, he now came to himself. That's what's important. Come to yourself. If you are with Christ, the shepherd, with Christ, the Savior, think of what you'll be enjoying now. Come to yourself. If you are with the Lord, the healer, and your brain is getting heated up, think of what he would have done. But now you come to yourself, and as you come to yourself, then you take action. When you were out of your mind, you took a wrong action. You went away from the father's house. As you come back to yourself, in your mind, in your heart, and you come back to yourself, reasoning aright, thinking well, you also must take action. Now, the right action. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. In verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. When you reason well, your reasoning will lead you to good action. And you'll not be blaming anyone. They didn't treat me well. They didn't, look at my face. They didn't do this or that. That's why I took the step I took. No, there'll be no excuse. I just know I wasn't driven away from the Father's house. It was my pride. It was my passion. It was my wrong thinking. It was my selfish ambition, wanting to be by myself. Now I come to myself and I take the right action based on the right decision. I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Those three words are very important. I've been good all the time. I just experimented, going out and seeing what will happen. They have been telling you, I've been telling me, Daddy, that this is bad and that is bad. And I told myself, how would I know it is bad? I only take your word that is bad. I wanted to see for myself that what you were saying was bad, was really bad. No, that will be giving excuse. The young man just said, as an example for you and for everyone, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. What he meant is, I've spoiled the family name. My action, my lifestyle had betrayed me to be not a good son. I'm not worthy of bearing the name of this good family. The same thing, you come to God, God is holy, I have been unholy. I'm not worthy to bear the name of God. Christ is righteous. I have been unrighteous. I am not worthy to bear the name Christian. And so we come to God in all sincerity, knowing that our lives have not honored God, have not glorified God. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20. And in verse 20, and he arose. He decided, I will arise. He took action and he arose. There are some people who are not so firm in their decision between the time of intention and the time of action. They change their mind. Intention, I will arise. And they may take one step or two and then they stop and they rethink. And they say, maybe it's not so bad after all. And the time of intention does not carry them to the moment of action. But this young man, he kept on going. He arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, that's what I'm saying, God loves you more than you think. While he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Our Heavenly Father, I see you there tonight. He will give you peace of mind. He'll give you freedom from your sin. He'll blot out all your iniquity as you are coming to the Lord, sorrowful because of the sins you have committed. The Lord himself, in his love, in his mercy, in his grace, he will receive you graciously tonight in Jesus' name. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, And the son said unto him, the young man, the prodigal, did not forget what he had said in his intention. He didn't say, God loves me so much, the father loves me so much, I'm not going to spoil the deal by telling him about my sin. Young man, the father knows you went astray. You're not spoiling anything. Tell him. Young man, God knows where you have been, what you have done. That he loves you does not make him blind to your sin, to your offense, to your guilt, your condemnation. And so even though the father ran towards him, had compassion on him, he didn't take the mercy of God for granted. Some people say, do I still need to repent? After all, God loves me. Yes, he loves you, but he wants you to turn away from your sins, so that as you're coming now, you'll not go back to evil anymore. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father forgave him. The father will forgive you. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. The best. The fellow who has done the worst, the best was made available for him. What you have done, the worst, in the sight of the Lord, that God said, I didn't know that this fellow could go so down, so low, in committing sin, in doing evil, there was, and yet that does not obliterate, cancel the love of God for you. He'll do the best for you. I said he'll do the very best for you. He'll forgive you. That the best, he'll set you free. He'll take your guilt and condemnation away. Bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring of acceptance on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, for this my son, I'm not worthy to be called your son, this my son. The father accepted him as his son. Tonight, heaven will accept you. God will accept you. And all you were thinking about, I'm not worthy to be a real Christian, forget about that. The Lord will make you worthy. And he says, this my son was dead and is alive again. Praise the Lord, you'll come alive. And every plan of God for your life will come alive. And every good thing the Lord had ever thought of you will come alive. He was lost and he is found. And everything that had been lost, your life, your personality, your self-esteem, your good name, everything lost will come back in Jesus' name. And they began to be merry. Heaven will rejoice because of you. Amen. Salvation has come. For who? Amen. You got it. It has come for you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You know he loves you. You know he's been looking for you. And you know, even though you've gone astray, all he's asking for is that you'll come back. Come back to the Lord. Jesus died for you. Turn away from your sin and say, Lord, I come and tell him I have sinned. Then you give him the chance by grace. He'll blot out your sin. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You are this time going to give yourself fully to the Lord. And you return from all the jungle of sin you've been to. Wherever you are, you raise up your hand. You say, Lord, here I am. God bless you there. God bless you there. God receives you tonight. I've gone astray in my mind. I've gone astray in my action. I've gone astray in my behavior. I've gone astray in joining the people that are evil to do evil with them. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent now. I come back to Christ, my only Savior. If you are raising up your hand, you'll stand up now. Please stand up. You are raising up your hand. God bless you. God bless you real good. You are the one Christ died for. You are the one Christ is going to touch tonight and remove your guilt, remove your condemnation, and remove all the filthy sin in your life. You might not be able to cleanse yourself. He will do that. He'll cleanse you and blot out the remembrance of every bad thing you ever did. Young person, come. Middle-aged person, come. Older people, elderly people, come. The Lord is waiting for you. While you are standing, tell the Lord there, Lord, I come to you. I have the assurance you will forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose again to bring me complete salvation, great salvation. And this gracious salvation comes all by mercy. Not my feeling, not my emotion, not my tears, but your grace. Thank him that he receives you now. We're praying together. Father, the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, you forgive everyone and you grant everyone your gracious and your great and your glorious salvation now in Jesus' name. A good amen. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and love. Thank you, because we know whosoever comes, you will in no wise reject. You have accepted them. You have forgiven them. You have given them your great salvation. And we pray what has started in grace now will continue by grace in everyone of their lives from tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Our counselors are there to help us, and please cooperate with them, members of the choir, ushers, and those who have been trained to be counselors. They're helping us now. God bless you. We call on our officiating minister to help us at this time before I come back to pray for the sick.
Praise the Lord. That's a great decision you have taken tonight. Make sure you feel the sleep. The counselors are there to give you a sleep to feel. Kindly complete the sleep properly in capital letters and be very clear. That decision you have taken tonight is one of the greatest decisions you can ever take in life. That you are saved You're a candidate of heaven. Your name is in the book of life. You're a child of God now. Heaven recognizes that. And heaven is rejoicing for that great decision you have taken tonight. Please, that sleep you are feeling, this is to help you in your newfound faith. So feel it properly as the counselors are there. Counselors, you are not preaching again. Our Father in the Lord has preached to them. Just guide them to feel the sleep. And when you are done, you can tell us there's also a package from the man of God, our Father in the Lord, the convener for you to collect and use for your spiritual growth in the Lord. While we are feeling the sleep, we're listening to this. There will be lunch hour at 3 p.m. tomorrow at Pavilion 33A. Lunch hour with Jesus. Endeavor to be there. All those who gave their life to Christ tonight will be happy to see you there. The Lord will bless you as you come. Counselors, make sure you collect the sleep from them. Like I said, the sleep is just for us to know, help you in your newfound faith. That's the greatest decision you have taken. There will be new believers banquet on Sunday. So listen to this, very, very important, on the 12th July. Counselors, let's attend to them very well and fast. Get all the details. If you are watching online and you gave your life to Christ after the pastor's message tonight, there's a link, gckhq.com/connect, below your player. Please visit the link and fill out the form so we can assist you further in your newfound faith. Also, if you are listening via radio, television, and have just given your life to Christ, wonderful. What a great thing you have done tonight. Please send your name, your phone number, and your location via SMS or WhatsApp to +234 91 5444 9263. Also listening to this, there will be banquet, special banquet for all those who gave their life to Christ on Sunday after the crusade, both online and in all our headquarters churches globally. More details about this will be sent to you. Our pastor will be delighted, our Father in the Lord, to have you join this special banquet. Thank you. Counselors, are we through? By my right hand side, are we through? Counselors, let's identify if we are true. In the middle, let's show sign that we are true. Okay, thank you. God bless you. By my left hand side, are we true? Those in the middle are true. We are waiting for those by my left hand side. and my right hand side. Okay, thank you. God bless you. Those by my right hand side are true. What of the left hand side? Are we true, please? God bless you. Praise the Lord. The man of God, our Father in the Lord, whom God has been using, is here tonight. And we have heard a message clear. And testimonies abound. And tonight is your night of miracle.
Somebody there, praise the Lord. Tonight is your night of miracle. Gracious healing by the God of all grace. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. Whatever the problem, God will have mercy on you. Miracle of mercy, a miracle of power for you tonight in Jesus' name. You raise up one hand and lay the other hand where you have the challenge. Remember, the great power. This is the great day of His great power. Blind eyes, you can open your eyes. Deaf ears, dumb tongues, limp people, goiter, swelling, elephantiasis, whatever. You will do it now. Amen. There is no impossibility in your life. Amen. One hand up, you lay the other hand where the challenge is. I'm sure you are ready. Heaven is ready for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we celebrate your love. We celebrate your compassion. Good God, gracious God, mighty God, willing to save, willing to heal. I will bring every need of every life here and everywhere online before you right now. Have mercy on everyone in Jesus' name. Grant everyone right now the miracle of mercy. Miracle by grace. Miracle of your compassion. Confirm the healing in everyone now in Jesus' name. All the swelling, I command, come out in Jesus' name. Blind eyes, glaucoma, cataract, dimness of sight, be healed in Jesus' name. Pain in any part of the body, be relieved right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, those who have any kind of stiffness in their back, stiffness in their joint, stiffness in the ankle or the knee or the waist or the neck, take all the stiffness away in Jesus' name. Those who have stroke, heal them now. Set them free and help them to demonstrate the freedom they have in the Lord. Amen. Those who are lame, paralyzed, Lord, heal them. Amen. Get them off the wheelchair. Amen. Off the crutches. Amen. Off the ground. Amen. Lift them up. Make them work in Jesus' name. Impairment in their speech. Impairment in their hearing. Restore hearing and good speech to everyone in Jesus' name. I pray for those who have any skin disease. Heal them in Jesus' name. Pile, I pray you touch them now. Heal them of the pile. Appendicitis, heal them in Jesus' name. Blood problem, issue of blood, sugar in the blood, whatever. Lord, I pray you touch them and heal them. Any other kind of healing we need, Lord, I pray, deliver all your people. Brain problem, be healed and be delivered in Jesus' name. Tormenting demon, tormenting devil, I cast you out. Come out in Jesus' name. Lord, show your love to everyone. Compassion to everyone. Healing for everyone. Do it, Lord, and let your people rejoice before you. It is done. In Jesus' name I pray. I got it. Where are you? I got it. Check up yourself and see what God has done. Overseer, please.